League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
Do you have any, is there any intelligence out there at all?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
What's up, Amber?
Bring on AMF. There we go, Sam. What's up, AMF?
To follow up on these streaming shows, have you seen Under the Bridge? Because that would support what you say, Lance, about these girls and how mean they can be. It is disturbing. It's a true story. It's on
Hulu.
Hulu?
Yeah, I watched the entire thing. I hated all those girls. They're the worst.
They're horrible.
They're horrible people. Like, it's set in the 90s. It's set in the 90s. And
the other one that I saw yesterday.
Oh, go ahead.
Thanks, AMF.
Go ahead, AMF.
Appreciate it. Adios, mother.
Oh.
That's what AMF stands for.
I'm sorry to talk over him a little bit. It's set in the 90s, and so all the girls are into rap, and they're called CMC. The girls start a gang. It's like the three of them or four of them called CMC, and it's Crips Mafia Cartel, something like that. They make it up. And so there's all these girls who come from broken homes, and then there's one girl who's got a stable family, but she's an outsider. I think she might be of Indian descent. Uh-huh. So she's trying to fit in with all the white kids, and there's also a black girl involved as well. So they're the worst.
White Crip Mafia Cartel.
Yeah, they treat the girl's parents terrible.
Is this based on a true story?
It's based on a true story. I don't want to give it away. Just to know, if you watch it on Hulu, you're going to hate these girls because they're the worst people on earth.
Yeah, I already do. There was a documentary called HBO doesn't have it on anymore. You can go through all the HBO stuff. There's two that they don't have anymore. Banging a Little Rock 1, the original, with the white kids who are branding themselves and singing Snoop. And then Pimps Up, Post Down. Also, you're not going to find Pimps Up, Post Down. I do have the DVD, but you won't find that anymore either. But, I know that feeling of watching and just really disliking characters. They wanted to make them dislikable, unlikable, and they succeeded.
Yeah, they go to a parent's home, and they're completely disrespectful. And it's like, oof, like, what do we? Oh, you want to just you just want to throw them under the bridge?
Told you. Me and Sam tried to tell you that yesterday, Dell.
What? That girls are mean?
Yeah, some of them.
Well, I'm not.
You ever see that show, Mean Girls?
Yes, it's. See? You mean the movie?
Yeah,
I didn't watch the second one.
It's a musical now.
That's why I didn't watch the second one. It's a musical. I was out. Like, they turned the second one into a musical. I was out. I don't watch musicals.
What might those girls say about another girl? What might they call her?
Well, they might use the terminology that Pat McAfee used.
Attaboy, Dell. Here's Pat McAfee. Now, this was not meant. Now, I will warn you, if you're headed to school and your kids have finals or whatever, you might want to turn a channel and then listen to. He's going to say an ugly word, but it's one we can play on the air, but it's still an ugly word. And Sam, hopefully you don't say this about other women, because you got to be women who love women.
Are you explaining to a woman how she should behave?
It's called Lance-splaining.
Mm.
So you did like Barbie?
Yeah, Barbie was the jam. But I mostly like the parts with Ken. So I don't know if that
So in a movie about women, you like the parts with Ken?
Yeah, I like that part. Where,
okay.
And when those
when he's just
Will,
Ken?
When Will Ferrell, everyone's like, what's she doing here?
Yeah.
No, I didn't love Barbie, but I watched it. It was Oscar nominated, so I checked it out. Now, Pat McAfee is trying to explain. He's being positive about Caitlin Clark. Why he said this, I think he said this because he was kind of talking about the racial undertones, I believe, that he thinks is there with Caitlin Clark, although he doesn't say it, but just the name that he gives her, the term that he uses, well, you'll see what we mean. Here's Pat McAfee.
The GOAT. Is she what? I don't know. I just, with my eyes, I couldn't see if she's Caucasian or not. So I think what we're trying to say is what the WNBA currently has is what we like to describe as a cash cow. There is a superstar. And we're not saying that the players on the court need to act any differently. That's the athletes are going to do what athletes are going to do in any sport. And I think we're all learning that WNBA, that's old school football, baby. That is old school football. But I would like the media people that continue to say, this rookie class, nah. Just call it for what it is. There's one white bitch for the Indiana team who is
You don't have to dump it. You don't have to dump it.
And is it because she stayed in Iowa, put the entire state on her back, took a program from nothing to a multiple year success
Take it off
story?
Now. Take it off.
Is it because
did I?
You scared her.
Did I scare you into dumping? See, come on the microphone, Sam. I got to explain something to you. I've also been involved in community theater, and I've done characters and whatnot over the years. So that's part of the acting where I go, ooh. Like that. Like, it's just part of, I'm selling a bit. So I scared you into dumping. Pat McAfee called Caitlin Clark.
The B
so
word.
We got a cash cow here, and media says, no, this rookie class, no. We got a white bitch. And I don't really know why he would use that there. Like, I don't understand why Pat McAfee would have done that, to be honest with you. I don't know what the purpose, like, it didn't really fit to me that he would have done that. So Pat McAfee did that yesterday, and he had to come back yesterday and apologize and say, hey, I'm sorry. There's better ways I could have got that out of the way. Now, look, Pat McAfee owns his own. He's not going to be on ESPN in 2 years. Well, he may. I don't know if his show will be, but he gets to say whatever he wants on the show because he owns his own show. They basically just lease his show, and they're paying him a ton of money to do it, and he's on all these other TV shows. So Pat McAfee's not going to get in any trouble. He apologized for what he said. I mean, he basically got one of the ESPN's executives, John Skipper. He got him out of the – was it Skipper? Or, no.
It was Norby, right?
Norby, yeah. Norby Williamson. He got him out of the building. He was able to do that. So it is true. She is a cash cow. There's no doubt. But the league's going to go on, and it is better for – frankly, if you have a villain, if you have the villain and you have the good guy, I think it was you that was saying this yesterday, or maybe it's someone
like if you want to.
Okay,
thanks for that.
But
if you want to position Caitlin Clark as the hero, depending on your rooting interest, it's more entertaining to have people you can root against. You know why I'm going to watch the finals beyond the fact that I have this job? Because I hate the Celtics. So I don't particularly care that much about the Mavs. But I hate the Celtics, so they're the villain in this. They're fairly likable individuals, but I hate the brand. I hate the brand. I hate the team. So I'm going to watch.
What's funny is they're not actually that likable in the West because Luka's become more likable now that he's actually winning, and we're watching it, and our teams aren't getting beat. Whoever your team is,
sure.
But Luka hasn't always been all that.
And watching his likeable demeanor on the
Kyrie's
floor.
Not likable.
Well, Luka on the floor is not a great watch if you don't like guys who don't whine. Luka's not for you.
Oh, he's a mega whiner.
He's a whiner. He screams. You can see every emotion on his face, which is fine. But you know what he's about. Anytime he doesn't get things to go his way,
that white bitch can ball though. Okay. See, I'm trying to bring it across.
You want to make it
needs
equal?
To be equal.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure. But as far as the WNBA is concerned, I said yesterday where the Fever are, where they're not, they're an awful basketball team. And Caitlin Clark, the counting numbers look okay, but the efficiency isn't very good. It's not entertaining to watch her go 4 for 13 and score 14 points. You need people to bring a conflict to the games, and the conflict is I don't know if it's we don't like her or we're going to give her her rookie moments over and over again, but there are enough players and enough teams who are already better than the Fever that can use physicality to try to throw off her game. And the biggest thing, and it's been talked about quite a bit, is like let's use Luka for example. If in Thursday night's game against the Celtics, let's say Peyton Pritchard, when Luka's ready for an inbound, comes and does what Carter did to Clark, you think any Mavericks player is going to let that stand?
No.
The issue, my biggest issue for having a conversation about hoops is beyond how bad the Fever are, where is just standing up for a teammate? Any teammate. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be Clark.
That's in any sport.
It's for anybody. That's what happens. When you forget about the star that Caitlin Clark is and the attention and the talk about her. That person is on your team. If someone does that to your teammate, what do you do? You just don't. And if we see that, we always talk about things in baseball. Hey, oh, the hitter got hit. The pitcher needs to protect the hitter. That was an Astros thing for years before, you know, we started focusing on important things like them winning a lot of ball games. The thought was the Astro pitchers don't stand up for the hitters. I don't know if it played a real part in the clubhouse, but that was a discussion outside. No one said, hey, Carter, you can't do that. And the fact, if I was watching that and the Fever were my favorite team, I would say, hey, you don't even let Angel Reese get away with her reaction to it, where she's applauding it and thrilled by it when you see her on the sideline. The whole thing would be like, look, we may suck, but you're not going to hit us, and we're going to pretend like we like it.
Yeah, no, that's – yeah, because that wouldn't stand in baseball. Of course, that was
anywhere.
One of the big beefs. Is it the pitchers didn't protect Bagwell, yeah. Biggio, and the Astros way back in the day? There was a lot of problems with having a feeling that Astros pitchers didn't protect. That's the one thing. If somebody in hockey, it's always been a known thing. You have goons because if somebody takes it out on a, you know, one of your speedy players, your offensive players, you have to have somebody to make them answer for it.
And I'm not going to pretend like I know all the ins and outs of every team in the WNBA. So if that would have happened to Kelsey Plum on the Aces, or Asia Wilson on the Aces, would someone have stepped in for them? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe it's not part of how the WNBA works. But we're told how physical it is, and it's a different ballgame. Get used to it. Stop overreacting to whatever Caitlin Clark has to go through. All I saw out there on Saturday was a team who just let one of their players, forget Star or Caitlin Clark, they let one of their players get bullied and are like, you know what, we're cool. Just let's get that free throw and inbound the basketball for our next possession. That's maybe why one of the reasons, as Matt Barnes said, we played yesterday, the Fever aren't very good.
Yeah, and there was actually, we'll get to it a little bit later on. I don't want to just keep on going with all the Caitlin Clark stuff. But Angel Reese had an interesting comment, and then I actually thought that McNutt, what's her first name?
Monica.
Yeah, Monica McNutt. I thought she owned Stephen A. Smith yesterday. And then Stephen A. Smith had his own podcast where he tried to show how much of an ally to women he was. And it was like, it was the most uncomfortable thing, dude. This is, why is Caitlin Clark making everyone so
weird? Everyone's so weird.
Everyone's so weird. Well, you're just seeing how people really are weird. You have a polarizing player, and it's making people really weird, and they're having a hard time. They don't know how to act. People don't know how are we supposed to handle this? And I think it's kind of funny, because when you're performative so often, then once you have a topic, like, you're not sure how it's supposed to fall along political lines or whatever lines, and you're like, well, wait, well, how am I supposed to handle this? And so when people are handling it outside of the realm of how you think, then other people get mad, and it's actually for me been kind of interesting to see, because I really don't know what the take is going to be from a lot of different people on this, and I've kind of changed. I kind of, you know, my whole thing is, I think there's an element of jealousy. I think most of it, when you see the racial stuff, I think a lot of it's more on Twitter than it is in the real world. To be honest with you, when I say real world, the people actually participating, I think a lot of it is the culture wars on Twitter, because it's so played out, all the culture war stuff on Twitter. But I also think there's a part of it like, hey, sometimes you got to get busted up a little bit. This is just her hill to climb, her cross to bear. You want to be known as, and not that she wants to be known, she's just trying to play ball. It's not her fault that everyone has put so much on her. But that's one of the blessings that comes with with the money that comes with it and the adoration and the fame. The downside is, you know, you have everything on your back. Every game is hyper scrutinized. Other people are not going to like you or be jealous of you. That's just life. Like, that's not, this isn't that crazy.
I think the craziest part for me is if we just keep it to basketball.
Like, when I came in, the way you and Raheel and John treated me when I came back here, it was bullcrap. I was like the Caitlin Clark of the show, getting bullied and pushed around.
Yeah,
and I overcame.
We definitely called you a white bee from time to time.
I know. Sam already said you talk bad about people behind their back. She said that yesterday.
Well, she's just adding. She's adding a narrative, which I appreciate because I do that too. But beyond that, like, when people are talking about the players in the league and say, how could you attribute it to jealousy? It's just simply them being veterans and showing the
rookie
what it is. Look, yeah, are we going to pretend like we don't understand the human condition? Is this particular subset of people the one group of people who don't operate under that?
No.
They're the only people who never have resentment or jealousies about whether they think someone earned it or not. WNBA players are the only ones who just operate out of, look, we're just hooping. Of course individuals in the league, not the whole league, have looked at this and said, I don't like this. That ain't right. I've been putting in time. Why haven't I seen this type of attention? They're not. Look, just be honest about it. Individuals, resentment exists. It's not the whole league, but it is some of it.
Yeah.
And be realistic about how humans behave. That's all. They're the only ones, Lance, that don't get jealous.
I know.
That don't have any resentment.
They're the only ones.
It's just basketball, right?
They're the only ones. Now, this idea that you must protect her at all costs, I'm not a big fan of protectionism and coddling.
You
and want to
be protected.
Well, I think people need to
respect you, certainly.
Yeah, show some respect and not, like, say bad stuff to me, like this one guy who said, STFU, Lance.
Who said that?
You're coming after Stephen A. Smith because you have an agenda.
Who said that?
Just somebody on Twitter who was being rude to me.
And did you need one of us to come to your defense?
No, I just told him to miss me with that BS.
Okay.
Like any regular person would do. 818. I guess what I'm hearing is that the listeners want a lot of Caitlin Clark talk. That's what I'm finding right now. That's what I'm hearing.
Okay.
That's what the streets are saying. You know, YouTube and Twitch are saying, let's get more Caitlin Clark talking.
It seems like that's an unlikely reaction to what we're doing.
The streets are saying, I don't know. I know that what helps it go down is tequila. I need to get some more tequila. I just had, who was it? My man, Coach at Arms on Twitter, Reese, just sent me a picture. He had a bottle of, I think it was the Reposado he had, and a cigar. And he's like, this is what my weekend's going to be. I said, respect. I love it. You got some cigars and a bottle of tequila, like you're doing you this weekend. I know it probably meant he was playing some golf too, because I know that's what he likes to do. But my friends over at Maestro Nobel want your weekdays, weekends, your birthday parties, your celebrations, just a trip out to a bar. They want it to be filled with Maestro Nobel because this is a tequila that has been made in Tequila, Mexico. Great care has been taken. It tastes great, always smooth. Never, when I say smooth, it doesn't have the harsh impurities. It's been distilled properly. It has a very easy, it goes down easy, and it has really nice flavor profiles in all the different tequilas. Reposado, the Añejo Extra, the Cristalino, the Humido, which is a smoked silver, and of course the silver. So whether you're having cocktails, whether you're having margaritas, or whether you are sipping tequila like a proper gentleman, you are going to experience Maestro Nobel in its finest form every single time you open the bottle. Maestro Nobel, wherever fine liquors are sold. If they don't have it, ask for it by name, Maestro Nobel.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierla.
@8:23 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Don't forget you can catch the show if you miss any of it. Go to the website, ESPN975.com, and go to the podcast section, and we will have segments up on the podcast that you can listen to. You can listen to any of it. John will be back tomorrow. And Dell and Mapes, Mopey and Mapes, will be back in its regular time slot tomorrow as well.
Well, and if you are, you know, a person who has an app on your phone as opposed to Lance sending you to the website, you can also listen to it, the podcast, on Google, not Google, but Spotify and Apple Podcasts as well, if you're like a normal person.
Right, right. If you want to, yeah, I guess that's actually true.
Do you go to websites and listen to the podcast?
I did yesterday, actually, to let my son, who is exactly like the intern we had on yesterday, to let him hear him. And Sebastian goes, oh, my gosh, he is exactly like you. By the way, what a blessing yesterday was for me.
Can we go to Tony because he speaks for me right now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Tony, our friend, Concept Mayhem.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Having YouTubers and Twitchers speak for the listener base is like having Jared from Subway speak for people who like sandwiches.
Okay. Okay. That's fair. But I think we do speak for what the listeners want. And Tony, you're an Iowa guy. You love Caitlin Clark, so don't even
it's
try
true.
This.
He is
don't
biased.
Even try this. You're trying to sneak that bias just to see, you know, so I know that you want as much Caitlin Clark talk as possible.
It's better than Ferentz talk.
Our friend Joan says she is the show mom. She says, or show teacher, either okay. one. On his last at bat, Abreu looked completely lost. Never D-list if confidence. Never did lose his confidence. I don't know what that means. Three straight strikes, the last one swinging at his ankles. Yeah, it was pretty terrible. As a matter of fact, the Astros have been chasing a lot more than they usually do. Let's see. Jose McCullers, Lance McCullers, Chaz to White Sox for Lewis Roberts, some sausage and peppers and a couple pizzas. We're not doing that trade either. Lance, are you watching the HBO show on Renfest? Isn't that the one that you said that?
That's what Michael Carroll recommended during our segment on Friday. He said, I don't know if he recommended it. He gave people the option of watching it.
That's the one that we have?
Yes, the Texas Renfair.
And that's what this is about?
I believe so, yes.
So it's a full documentary on Renfest?
Yes.
Would that be good, or is it going to be a lot of LARPing? Or is it going to be like, is it going to be good? I watched the Lollapalooza documentary on Prime. It is really good. Really, really good if you get a chance to watch that. At least for people who care about that era of music.
Yeah, Renfair is the doc. It's on it'll be on HBO. I watched the 99 doc for the Manchester United season where they won the treble yesterday. It's just three episodes. It breaks down what they're going through. Some of the great players of the past obviously were doing it. Sir Alex Ferguson. It's pretty good.
Is Sam – so Sam, say hello to everybody. How's day two going so far for you?
It's going fine.
Anything we need to know? Any difficulties that you've learned, gotten through or that you're having? Because someone's got a complaint.
What's the complaint?
All right. They say the difference in volume level during commercials in the show on the app is out of control today. Not sure what's up. Is that
– She doesn't control the levels of the app. Because sometimes
is Sam screwing something up?
No, or? I went in there and looked at her levels, and her levels for the recorded stuff that people hear is fine. She's doing fine there. I don't know what the issue is, but it isn't. And we've heard this in the past when she wasn't here that the app levels are louder than what they hear during the show. So it isn't a Sam problem. I've gotten a text about Sam too. It's a complimentary one. So there's difference.
People can back off.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. I remember Isaiah Thomas. Howard says, I remember Isaiah Thomas freezing out Jordan in the All-Star game. Jealousy is a powerful motivator. Put the young ones in their place. That did happen. Now, how did it turn out for Isaiah Thomas? You don't get a no dream team.
Mm-hmm.
So just remember that, Kennedy or Chinity or whatever, because if you try to make the women's dream team, Caitlin Clark's going to keep your ass on the sideline.
I honestly
and forget
think
that.
The willingness or the unwillingness to call some players in the WNBA jealous might have to do with their gender. Because because it sounds awful to call, you know, that, oh, that woman's jealous. No, they're players, and they're competitive players, and sometimes jealousy happens. And let's not pretend that humans don't get to that level at some point for reasons that are pretty obvious. The attention, the money, the notoriety that they didn't receive, even though they've put in their time. That's just how athletes work. It's not about a gender thing. But I do think some people don't want to say jealousy because it's besides the fact that maybe you're stereotyping the entire player pool, it's like, well, calling women jealous sounds bad.
How much of this is, though, for people is the white savior thing?
You mean on both sides?
Whatever. I mean, she's great white hope for a lot of people athletically, which is, I don't even know, like, if you love Lamar Jackson because he's a black quarterback, then you can't be mad at somebody for wanting to see, I guess, a white athlete. I mean, I don't look at it that way, but I know a lot of people do. And I guess I can't be upset if you want to see somebody who looks like you, who's in the minority, because a great player like Clark was in college, we'll see if it's in the pros, if she looks like people that they, like, you know, great white hope in boxing years ago, we've had, like, if you're a student of sports and the history of sports, there are these elements all over the place. And at different times and in different eras of our nation's existence, it is a really big deal. We're going through a really weird time. There was just, did you see in Germany where they just had, they pulled all the German players, and 80% of them said they would rather have more white players on the pitch than there currently are in Germany. And one of the head guys,
Was the manager of the German national team, or was it one of the club teams who responded to the poll?
No, it was, I don't think it was a manager. I thought it was a player who said, there's no room for this. This is incredibly racist and yada, yada, yada. But it's just a weird time right now that we're, and so I wonder if there are some people who don't like the whole white savior complex, that some people see this as,
no,
is that.
It was the German head coach, Julian Nagelsmann, has condemned as racist a recent survey that asked participants if they want to see more
white players, isn't he?
Yeah, on the national team. The poll by the ARD public broadcaster said 21% of the respondents agreed with the proposition. He says, it is racist. I feel we need to wake up. So it was the German national team head coach who said the survey was racist to even ask the question. Because
wasn't that really high?
Apparently the poll said 21% agreed with the proposition.
Oh, only 21% agreed. Yeah. Oh, okay.
So if the background of German soccer, because they have people who have immigrated to the country, it doesn't look like what you might remember from 1994. Or Jurgen Klinsmann's time. They don't look. In fact, he was one of the people who changed how the German soccer team looked.
If it doesn't look like Michael Ballack and Bastian Schweinsteiger, what are we doing?
Or Toni Kroos.
And Toni Kroos. Like, that's what German soccer is supposed to look like.
Well, now.
Except okay. The Boatengs.
The we'll Boatengs
the good,
and
the
others.
The Boateng.
And Masala's another one. Yeah, it doesn't look like it. And we had to a lesser issue here in America where Jurgen Klinsmann came over after coaching the German national team. He brought that philosophy of grabbing players from around the world who weren't born in this country but had maybe American father or mother. Some of them were the sons of service members. And the team started to look different. You had German-born players playing for the U.S.
Like
and
the defenseman who was so big.
And Jermaine Jones, who scored a great goal in the World Cup, a midfielder. He was a German-born player, I believe, and American people, some Americans, even some people who played American soccer, like the Wijnaldums and others, push back on the notion that, hey, they're not born here. Why are they playing here? Stuff like that. So it doesn't just happen in Europe. It happened
here,
too.
No, no, no. And I think it's a legitimate discussion. I don't think you just need to start labeling people right away. The German thing is a little different, the way you ask the question. But the idea of, especially with so much globalization and so much immigration and kind of, some would say forced immigration, things like that. There's so much, like, the question is, so England went through a period of that. Now it's not as bad, but England has gone through that period. Germany's gone through that period. Now, the U.S. soccer, I remember what you're talking about, because I thought, man, it gives you a better chance having these international players. Like, I want to see the U.S. have the best chance of winning right now.
Yeah.
I remember when there was pushback in the league from, I want to say it was Stephen A. Smith, it was Kenny Smith. There were basketball guys who were pissed off that so many international players were coming into the NBA taking American jobs back in the early 2000s. And I always thought, what in the world? Like, how in the world? This is making if this makes basketball better, who cares? And it was a very protective, jingoistic thing, you know, manner of arguing. And I thought it was strange. I don't know. This has been a melting pot country for so many years. And even though people are self-segregating and more polarized than ever, it's still one of the strengths is that you should be able to get many people together and represent. I just want a team that's going to win. I like teams that win. load my team up with Latin American players on baseball, that's when I know I'm going to be good. You know what hurts is when you have just a bunch of
Adam Everetts.
Yeah. That guy was I don't want to say he's the worst, but he was kind of the worst. It was Bogart and Adam Everett, these no-bat, good-glove guys. Give me somebody like Jose Siri who will pull some chains out. My favorite player was Cesar Cedeño, so I was a fan of Dominican baseball players growing up.
And I use Eric Arnaldo because he's one of the players I remember, but really the guys in question who were doing it specifically was Alexi Lawless, who is a talking head now on I think he might still be on Fox.
Many people don't like him.
Yeah, many people.
Many people.
And he also has, you know, his internet stuff that he does too. So yeah, that was a thing here. And just, hey, the team looks a little different. Maybe they don't take the same pride that we did because they weren't born here, stuff like that. So it's not unique in the world. And maybe as far as the basketball discussion is, I don't know about Great White Hope. I'm not – you tell me, Lance. Is she the Great White Hope?
What, are you kidding me? You can say it. You know she is. Yes. Well, Caitlin Clark for some people is a Great White Hope, and I guess that's okay. I understand now that people want somebody who, quote-unquote, looks like them. And this is the same thing in movies. You want representation. This is a representation thing for a lot of people. For me, it's just that she's a badass. If she were black, Asian, Hispanic, I don't care. And she's draining from 28. She's pulling up from logos. She's taking people off the bounce. She's got the points. I'm watching. I'm watching because she plays different than I'm used to seeing.
Yeah.
Well, so I'm gonna check it out at least for a little bit. So, you know, the Jeremy Lin stuff, the Yao Ming stuff in the league, I thought that was great for basketball to have Asian influence in the league, even if it was relatively short term. That kind of stuff doesn't bother me at all. But it bothers some people, but I also don't click up because a player's white. Like, I don't understand it, but a lot of people
do. Let's
go
to your T-shirt. People can't see it. You've got a white man can't jump T-shirt. Are you a Hoyle or a Dean guy? You got both their faces on the T-shirt.
I typically am not a Billy. I grew up as more of a fan of what was his name?
I don't know. I don't remember his first name.
No, this one.
No, I don't. I don't remember Wesley Snipes' first name in that movie.
Yeah, I don't remember Wesley Snipes' character, but I grew up liking players that were a little flashy. Benny Anders, like, he was a stone cold criminal. Lewis Lloyd was one of my favorite basketball players. Drug addict, kicked out of the league. I picked Cesar Cedeño, shot and killed a woman.
Sidney
Dean. Yeah. So I typically picked some bad guys as players to emulate, and I try to play kind of like them. But as I grew up, I'm like, Billy Hoyle had it. He understood what he needed to do to win these pickup games. You know, and I just kind of saw some
coach's
of myself
son?
In Billy Hoyle.
You saw coach's son?
I don't
son?
Know if he – well, he was
Scrappy.
A hustler. He was a hustler. At that time when it came out, I was going to pool halls, but I was not a hustler in pool. Like, I was a guy getting beat, and they would take my money. But I did gamble in the pool halls. I did learn to handicap sports. So I saw Billy Hoyle as, yeah, he's kind of a white guy who's got to be smart with the ball. Mm-hmm. He's also hustling and gambling. Yeah, I kind of – maybe that is me more than Sidney Dean is. I wanted to be Sidney Dean, but I couldn't be. So I'll settle for Billy Hoyle. And that white man can't jump is worth watching even today. I'm just not going to watch the one with Post Malone's friend in it. What's his name? Jack Harlow.
Yeah.
I assume their friends are both white rappers.
That's...
All right, 8:37 right here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5. You guys can jump in. We've got, we got a board of calls, so we will do that here next. I do want to mention it's Marry Me Month, so if you're looking to get engaged, now is the time to do that with my friends over at Zadig Jewelers. They have a phenomenal selection of diamond engagement rings from every maker in the world is there. Every company in the world is there in their store. It's 28,000 square feet. They've got a second story that's dedicated completely to engagement rings. They have some downstairs as well. It's amazing to go through it. But did you know when you make a purchase, the more you purchase, the bigger the gift card you get? As a matter of fact, if you purchase an engagement ring for $10,000 or more, they're going to give you $2,000 gift card to use. Why not use it on yourself? It's my good friends over at Zadig Jewelers. They will make your diamond engagement ring special, and she will absolutely love it. Zadok, ZADOK.com, or go to 1801 Post Oak Boulevard.
Ooh.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierla.
Hey, 41. Here on...
Let's
get to...
Oh, it's my fault. Okay.
Let's get to call 713-780-3776. Who's first up, Bill?
Let's go with Underrated Mess. What's up, Underrated Mess?
Hey, good morning, fellas. I just wanted to kind of comment on the gentleman that couldn't control his volume and put into perspective for Sam, no matter how it's going for her. I remember a few years back when the balance of the show, Dell couldn't make it in for whatever reason, and phony John Granato of the people and ADHD Lance are stuck to produce. So you can imagine the shenanigans that happened then. So that was a great time.
By the way, it's ADD. It's not H. I'm not hyper. So take me off the ADHD.
He's certainly not
list.
Hyper.
I'm ADD.
He's much more lackadaisical than hyper.
Yeah. I remember all those times that me and John always had to run the show. Dell, do you remember
it
all those great times?
It happened a couple times because of the weather or traffic or whatever sometimes.
You need to move in. Stop being an hour and a half away.
One time my car just simply died and there was no chance of getting in. So it's happened and you guys were predictably terrible at it.
We were struggling.
No surprise. So anytime,
Sam, you're doing great.
You're doing great.
You're doing average, Sam. Good job.
Think average?
No, that's good.
She doesn't know where it is, but that's you insulted her a little bit. A little out of order.
Doing average is great.
She doesn't know where that soundbite is, but you're disrespectful.
She's getting better.
Don't stop. Well, you said average.
Yeah.
You said good and then average.
Average is, I rethought it. So just
go a reevaluation.
Yeah, average is like, okay. Just like, right?
What?
In Houston, it'd be like an 86-degree day average. Not that 40-degree day that you heard on the wire.
Baltimore,
for us, it's like 86-degree day with high humidity.
He's saying it's not great. It's a little annoying, but it's okay. That's what an 86-degree day is here.
All right.
No,
you're an 80,
it's an
82-degree day.
Yeah, that's still humid.
86 is a little hot.
You get a little sweaty.
All right, 78,
but
high humidity.
There it is. There it is. 78-degree day, an average day in Houston. 70s.
I'll take it.
Yeah. See? Dell, not everyone has to be. It doesn't have to be hyperbole constantly. Let's go with
Pena. He wants to talk Astros.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Pena?
Just a typical season. How's the Astros season going? We lose our MVP, guys. It's sad. Another sad season, man. But, I wanted to get to y'all since y'all both like shows. Y'all both like Power. Are y'all going to check out the new season on Friday? Because y'all remind me so much of Power, of the first series of Ghost and Tommy, but best friends. I just admire y'all's relationship, man. Y'all have a great day.
Which one of us is Tommy? Do you think you're Tommy or do you think you're
Tommy.
Ghost?
Ghost.
You think you're the leader? You're Ghost?
I'm okay. Ghost. You're Tommy.
We're nothing alike. Tommy was a wild card. I'm not a wild card.
No, you're not a wild card.
No.
You're pretty
good. I haven't watched an episode of Power since probably the end of season 3. So I haven't watched any of these spinoffs either. So I'm probably not going to watch it, Pena. It just missed me. I don't even have Stars.
That's all Stars is now. It's just Power.
And Power Book and Book of Kane and all that stuff. So I don't have it, Pena. So that's one reason I wouldn't watch. I've been out on Power and its spinoffs for a while now. The Astros, by the way, what he's referencing as far as an MVP is Kyle Tucker was injured in the game yesterday. It isn't going to be a long-term injury as far as there's no broken bones, certainly no ligaments. It's about pain tolerance, and he was in pain. The contusion is going to be a problem. Lance has predicted 4 games he's going to miss.
Mm-hmm. He's got a bone bruise. Kyle Tucker fouled a ball off his shin, and, I mean, he did not like it at all and had a hard time staying on his, putting any weight on his feet. It looked pretty bad at the time. Very happy he got out of there with, you lose your MVP candidate, but only for a short time. I don't think it's going to be long term, but I also don't think it's going to be just one game. I think it may last a little while until he can put the amount of weight on it he needs to transfer weight and, hit the ball successfully. So, although it is one of those things, I don't expect him to re-injure it necessarily. So I think it's just going to be a basic road to recovery. So we'll see how We'll see how that happens. We're going to break it here. Get back on schedule, as it were. I'll let Dell tell you about plumbing issues.
Oh, you're just going to let me do it as opposed to what you normally do.
I can help.
And scoff. No, you generally scoff at having.
Not Aqueduct. They're a great company.
No, not Aqueduct. Me actually talking about Aqueduct.
You probably have plumbing problems, too.
I certainly do. I went up to the attic a couple weeks ago and said, oh, that water heater is going to need to be replaced. And you know who you call for that? Aqueduct Plumbing. I talk a lot about the repiping, but they take care of other issues as well. If you want to call them, it's 281-488-6238, 281-488-6238. And that number is important because they give you the best free price quotes in town. So it doesn't have to be a giant issue. It could be a smaller one. But anytime there's a water issue in your home, it could turn into a disaster really, really quickly. You don't want any leaks. And if you do have a piping issue, you know what bad pipes do to you? It gives you dirty, nasty, unclean water. You don't want that for your home, whether you're washing dishes or, hell, taking a bath or a shower. Dirty water's not perfect for that. So Aqueduct Plumbing will take care of you there. And the best part about them are they're local. They're local contractors who are going to take care of the local customer, and they're experts in their trade as well. So whether it be the repiping, or you got a leak, or you just want to change out a faucet, Aqueduct Plumbing Company is there for you. Go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
8:50. We had some calls. I like it. I like that you guys are doing your thing. 713-780-3776. Very, very quickly, just a couple of stories we have not gotten to. Remember when everyone in Houston was screaming about the Astros adding Blake Snell? And why are you not adding Blake Snell? Just pay Blake Snell. He signed a 2-year, $62 million deal with the Giants. And, he's injured now. He's only pitched in 6 games this year. He has never finished the 5th inning in any of his games, and it has been a disaster of a signing. 2 years, $31 million a year. That just do anything? Yeah, Jim Crane wins again, because that looks like a really, really bad signing right now. He's only appeared in 6 games this season, has yet to pitch 5 full innings in any of the games.
Yeah, I heard him a couple weeks ago talk about his lack of preparation, and that
because affected, he was sitting on the sideline.
That's what I'm saying. It affected his ability to not only pitch but go deeper in the games, because he just hasn't had the time, and he just got thrown in there, and you've seen the effects of it, where he's been below his normal performance, and now he's injured. So sometimes not doing anything is the best move. And we heard, I think, is when we found out that. When we found out that Craig Biggio was involved in decision-making, Reggie Jackson was on one of the MLB shows discussing Blake Snell, among other things, with the Astros, and talked about their reasoning for not bringing him in. And that reasoning appears to be sound, because it's been rough. And the Giants, they won't ever come out and say it, but at least for the immediate aftermath of the signing, they got to regret it.
And this is why I'm not a huge fan of just do something. I'm not a fan of that mentality. John and I have had arguments for years about that. Just do anything, do something. Do something typically ends in a bad free agent move. It ends in overpaying, and it's not good for team building. Do something, just do anything, do something. It's just not, you have to think, you just, as much as we're going to get frustrated, pay that man, Jim, pay Correa his money. He's having a great playoff series. Jim Crane and the Astros have made smart decisions for the most part. Now, when they got rid of the smarter guys and they started doing dumb baseball stuff like Abreu and Montero's 3-year deal, and I don't care that Montero's pitching better this year, it was never not a bad contract to give a 3-year deal with that much money to a guy who's not even he's not even a closer. And I understand that your bullpen is important and all that. That's just not a good – it was not a good baseball deal. But for the most part, the Astros have been just – they've gotten away with being fiscally responsible. And so we may get frustrated. And I'm frustrated just like everyone else. But in the back of my mind, I'm also honest enough to say Jim Crane's idea of being fiscally responsible has also served this organization well. And it's things like that to keep you from panicking and signing Blake Snell, who hadn't had any, you know, any preseason action basically at all, signing him to a $62 million deal where the guy's been a zero this year and probably will be a zero for them. Six games total. He's going on the injured list, and he hasn't even finished five innings. I mean, come on. That's terrible. Let's get Charlie and Cypress in here. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Hey, yeah, I just wanted to talk about soccer real quick. No offense to anyone or, you know, the fan or anything, but I just don't get why y'all don't talk about, like, I mean, y'all talk about the WNBA, and honestly, I don't think a lot of people care, to be honest. Like, I feel like this is a business. It doesn't matter to me. I mean, I get that the media wants to make it a big deal about this whole Phoenix Park thing, but who cares? Anyways, the Copa America is coming up this year, this month. The Euro Cup is coming up. The Copa America is being held this year. Messi's here, the greatest soccer player in history, and I feel like y'all don't even show no love to soccer. Like, what's up with that?
Well, because
mostly
we
do.
Blame me. What was up with it is beyond you calling in about it, we don't get calls about that either.
No.
No. So we mentioned, I don't know if we actually.
John and I were both at that match between
Messi Argentina and the U.S.
Yeah, where you needed 45 seconds to realize how badly outclassed the U.S. was.
Yeah.
We were actually at that match. I think it's one of those. I like going to those matches, Charlie. I just don't know that everyone wants to talk about them. Like, you say that about Caitlin Clark in the WNBA, but I'm just saying I don't see anything about Copa America on anything media-wise, and that's not to disparage it. We just have to go more mainstream with
just happen to,
but I have respect for it. Trust me, I have a lot of respect
for it. Yeah, because I feel like I got a lot of minorities in here in Houston, like,
right?
You know, Hispanics, Europeans, Middle Eastern. They all love soccer, and I feel like,
right.
I mean, that's a big miss right there.
I would say when
I guess maybe it's just me. I don't know.
Well, but Charlie, when Copa America actually happens, I mean, we are weeks away. So when we actually have games to talk about, I'm sure the U.S. is in Copa America, so it'll be a discussion point at least a little bit on my show. But, I mean, this show probably isn't at a position where we're going to preview Copa America.
Soccer
group stages
is still going to be niche for a niche conversation for radio. That's just now, once World Cup comes up and we're here in Houston, it's going to be, and I think the U.S. team is going to be pretty good.
So
I think it will be a little different. How good do you think they'll be?
Well, the Berhalter thing is always going to be hanging over the squad.
What's that supposed to mean, the Berhalter thing?
He's probably not a manager that you think, or you should expect to be a world-class manager when it comes to shepherding a team through a big tournament like that.
How are they talent-wise?
They're going to be, as long as they're healthy, the talent they're going to have is a team, when you include the home country bump, should be a team that at least gets to a quarterfinal, at least has a chance at it. By the time that rolls around, I'm just not sure the manager will have set them up in a way tactically and positionally where they're going to be a good bet. This is a team who always finds a way to scrape and claw through the group stage, get to a second round, and then we see the distance between themselves and really tactically and the best, not even the best team in the world, just the team you're going to have to face in the second round. Talent-wise, by the time it comes around, they should be in a spot where a quarterfinal isn't out of the realm of possibility. And if you catch a couple of breaks, maybe you get to a semifinal. We'll see. But yeah, Copa America doesn't begin until June 20th. So that's a couple weeks away. Charlie, I'm just telling you, we're probably not a show who's going to give you a 2-week lead up into Copa America talk. The U.S. is in it, so those games will be discussed. And certainly the Euros during the summer come up as well. But hey, those are weeks away now.
Look at this. Sam is already three times better than Dell.
That's fine with me.
We've got Sam greater than RJ greater than Dell.
Well, is that on Twitch or YouTube?
We got to let Sam cook a little bit more before. It's on Twitch, but they hate you.
Yeah, so that's why I'm asking the question. We do have questions from Twitter about Sam. Art, who always asks the insightful questions, he's asking, do Sam and her mom wear golden goose shoes?
I don't feel like Sam is a Sam's not a golden gooser.
What do you mean by Golden Goose?
You know those shoes, Golden Goose? Do you know them?
Oh, no, I don't know.
The one that looked like Google. Their B-tail. It looks like somebody's worn them for 7 years. You know, Golden Goose, and then you pay way too much money for them.
No, I agree. I'm not going to pay that much money.
I will
money
say this.
For...
It is something that my people do where they like to beat things up and they tear things up and make it look super old and then charge you five times the amount. You doesn't like, make you sense to me. I don't do it.
Your people love the distressed look on their clothes.
Distressed.
What about holes in jeans?
That's what people think. That's actually all
that's
people.
Everybody.
That's
does
everybody.
That. Yeah.
Everyone does that. What about acid wash? Mm. Acid wash jeans. Who invented that in the 80s? Probably white moms.
I don't know if it's white moms, but maybe white
soccer
people.
Soccer moms or, yeah.
Soccer moms.
High hip jeans. Who invented that?
High waisted?
Yeah, high waisted jeans.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Who invented low waist jeans? Influencers, Instagram models.
Those the low waisted were around in the aughts. Like Britney Spears was wearing low waisted jeans. She wasn't an influencer back then. That wasn't a thing back then.
Well, but she was nasty. She even said that. Her songs, whatever her songs.
I thought Christina,
she said something.
I thought Christina Aguilera was the one that. Who was the nasty
well, it was
one.
Them, them they and were then, the same.
Then Britney.
And, you had
responded.
Those three. You had Jessica Simpson.
Yes.
And then Jessica broke into a different category.
Uh-huh. Mandy Moore was around
now,
for a
Mandy
little bit, too.
Mandy Moore has now, actually turned into a good actress.
She's an actress, yeah.
She's a good actress on This Is Us. She's actually very good.
I haven't watched an episode of This Is Us.
Yeah. You'd like it, Del. Grown people cry. There's a black guy that's adopted into
I don't,
a
why white is that?
Family.
Why does that matter
I'm just
to
saying,
me?
It's kind of like...
Why are you mentioning
I'm just
that
saying,
to me?
Maybe you would...
That's not my life. I wasn't adopted into a white family.
No, you weren't. You had, but you were taken to Las Vegas by your dad.
That's not the same. Me and Sterling K. Brown, his character on that show, don't have that many similarities.
Have your parents ever taken you to Las Vegas?
No, but I went gambling in Oklahoma.
You did?
It's not the same.
Did you win?
Nope.
You did.
I lost.
Did you gamble while you were on your volleyball team, making it illegal? And
I don't know.
Actually, gambling's illegal at my college.
Gambling in general.
Mm-hmm. So well, I had to do it on the Dell.
Well, not anymore. But, you told everybody.
No. I like that you have some edge like that. I like that you have some edge like that.
I think you need to answer for comparing me to the black guy on This Is Us.
I haven't finished spitballing
okay.
yet. Sterling K. Tom. No.
Sterling K.
Brown.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good compare. I compared
it's
you to a guy.
His character is nothing like mine.
You never watched it.
I never grew up in a white family. That should be the entry point to whether we're alike or not.
He likes Alanis Morissette. He likes Paramore.
You're
saying he's whitewashed?
You're making all of this up. You don't know that he likes.
That's not true because
Paramore
actually,
wasn't a thing.
That was set. Yeah, it was set in the like 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
And 90s.
You know what is a thing? You keeping us from going to break on time.
Yeah, it's a thing. That's a thing.
But what
all
you
right.
should be talking about is me being the underdog.
I know. Underdog fantasy is something that, look, we've got the NBA Finals getting ready to start cooking. And so who are you going to play on the high and the low? You've got yourself. What we're going to be watching is a contested, hotly contested playoff series. And so one of the things I'm going to tell you is I think Boston, with all this time, is going to really find a way to limit Luka's touches. I think the athletes and the link they have, they're going to really be up on him. So for the first game, I'm going to suggest that maybe you play lower than the point totals for Luka Doncic. It's going to be high, and I think it's lower. I think Boston will take the ball out of his hands. Now, if you sign up with promo code Lance, they're going to give you a special mystery pick for your first deposit when you make your first deposit. And that mystery pick is basically an easy winner where you get to play higher than some like 0.5 minutes played for Luka or something simple like that. And you're going to have a winner. So now all you have to do is find another winner. You can do as few as two players together on the pick'em, or you can do as many as five. Now, if you use the Scorchers, which are the little chili peppers that are next to some of the stats, and you decide to play that, it is going to increase the payout. You can go as high as 100 times your original play. It's real money. It's completely legal here in the state of Texas. And I'll be honest, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to mix and match your baseball right now with your basketball, and then watch along. Play along with what you're watching. It makes it more fun, and it can make it much more profitable. It's Underdog Fantasy. That's UnderdogFantasy.com. Download the app today. Use promo code Lance. Must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms and conditions apply. If you feel like you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or go to ncpgambling.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.